Rashi brings down the Chazal, Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov, Leishay B'Shalva, Kofatzim of Rogzah Shal Yosef. Yaakov Avinu wanted to sit in peace and tranquility, and the Rabbanu Shal Olam jumped on him. Rogzah Shal Yosef, Rogez means the agitation. He was agitated by Yosef. Couldn't sit quietly. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough what tzaddikim have in the world to come. They want to take it easy in this world too. So the Torah Tamima there asks, in his Sefer Baruch Sho'omar, and others ask, what's the problem? A tzaddik can't have shalva in this world. There's something wrong with having peace and tranquility. We daven every day in Shmon Esrei, Sim Shalom. We want shalom. What's wrong with shalom? What's wrong with Shalom? And beyond that, lo hakol zochim l'shvei shulchanos. Not everybody has this world and the next world, but some people do. Lo dayim l'tzadikim asher, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can't forgive a tzadik, a little shalva in olam hazeh. What's the lo dayim? Dayim l'tzadikim asher, mesukim l'mo, they have an olam hava, they want olam hazeh too, so what? Shayach, the people can have both worlds. I explain that there's a difference between shalom and shalva. Pasuk says, "Yehi shalom b'cheleich, shalva ba'armin osai." Shalom is where you have peace, harmony from the outside. You take away all of the outside mafrim, all the outside things that can disturb your ability to function. There's no wars, there's no economic problems, and the mele, you're able to function. That's called shalom. Shalva is ba'ar min osayach. Shalva is an inner peace. Shalva is where you take it easy, and you're not active from within. That's inside the armo, shalva. Shalom is from the chelech, from the wall around, that you keep away all the external things that would upset you, and you're able to then be active. Shalom in this world is shayach, but not shalva. Because in Olam HaZeh, a person has to constantly be active. V'nasati l'cho, it said in the Torah, V'nasati l'cho, mahalchin bein ha'omdim ha'elu, a malach stands. A human being walks, but nobody sits, not in this world. Ashra Yoshve Beisecha Shifti Beveit Hashem, there you can sit. But in this world, not. In this world, the person has to be active, has to be dynamic. And in order to bring it out, I want to mention a medrash in Koheles Rabbah. The medrash says like this. There were two Rishoyim who were partners in crime their entire life. And one of them died, and he went to Gehenna. And he's suffering in Gehenna for certain amount of time, doesn't say how long, until one day he looks up and he sees that they're escorting the neshama of his partner into Gan Eden. So he calls the Malach HaMamune al HaGehenem, and he says, there must have been a computer error over here, because that's my partner. When I stole, he stole. When I murdered, he murdered. And if I'm in Gehenem, he belongs in Gehenem too. And if he's in Gan Eden, I belong in Gan Eden. So find out where the mistake was and either get me out of here or bring him in to keep me company. Malach comes back and he says, there was no mistake. He belongs there, you belong here. He says, oh, I get it. He bribed somebody. So tell me how much and who, and I'll pay double. The Malach says, sorry, there is no bribery over here. He says, then tell me, why is he in Gan Eden and I'm in Gehenna? He says, you don't know what happened after you died. You see, you died, you dropped dead one day in the street, and you were such a rush and nobody wanted to bury you. So they left your body rot in the street for 3 days. After 3 days, somebody came and kicked your body into a hole in the side of the road, and that's where you're buried. When your partner saw this, it made such an impression on him that he started to rethink his whole life. And he did tshuva. And he lived out the rest of his life a complete tzaddik. So he's in Gan Eden and you're Gehenna. I said, that's great. Tshuva, I'm willing to do tshuva too. Really, if I would have known what's going to be with me, I never would have done it. I'll never do it again. Chotosi, Avisi, Plashati, get me out of here. The Malach tells him, I'm sorry, but it's a little late. Don't you know that the world you came from is like Erev Shabbos? And the world you're in now is like Shabbos. A person who prepares on Erev Shabbos has what to eat on Shabbos. You didn't prepare anything on Erev Shabbos in this world. You come to this world and now you want to eat. It's like somebody who slept all Friday, wakes up Friday night and he wants a meal. It's too late. Don't you know, the Malach continues, the world you came from is like the dry land, and the world you're in now is like the sea. If you prepare your supplies on the dry land in the middle of the ocean, you have what to eat. But you set sail with an empty boat. Now in the middle of the ocean, there's no supermarkets in the middle of the ocean. It's too late. And don't you know, the Malach said, that the world you came from is like the Yishuv, and the world you're in now is like the Midbar. If you prepare yourself in the Yishuv, you can survive in the Midbar. But if you don't make the preparations in the Yishuv, in the Midbar, there's no place to prepare. So the person realizes, Me'uvas lo yuchal liskon, that it's crooked, it can't be corrected, and he bemoans his fate. That's the Medrash. Two things bothered me about this Medrash. First of all, there is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that compares Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, doma leprozdor b'fnei ha'olam haba, why did the Malach tell him three Mishalim and not the Mishnah Pirkei Avos? Tell me the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Didn't you know the world you came from was like a preparation room? The world you're in now is like the castle. You didn't prepare, you can't get in. And secondly, why was it necessary to tell him three Mishalim? I'm sure the guy got the message after the first one. They're basically the same thing, different words. Why was it necessary to tell him three Mishalim? One of my Balabatim, when hearing this question from me, told me, Rabbi, that's Gehenna, listening to extra long drushes that aren't necessary. But as a Rav, I don't accept that. So Taka, why three Mishalim that don't seem to be necessary, and why not the Mashal or the Prozdor? The way that Chazal explained to us the purpose of Olam Hazeh, really the intention of the Bria was the Rabban Hashem wanted to create a neshama that he could shower his goodness on. The Rabban Hashem is the ultimate good, and he wanted to shower that goodness on our neshamas. But he knew that we wouldn't appreciate it, wouldn't be the ultimate good if we didn't earn it. What a person doesn't earn, he doesn't appreciate. To be Nahamad Dechsufa. So the Rabban Hashem therefore put our neshamas into this physical world. And he gave us the opportunity to earn Olam Haba. It doesn't mean earn, it means create. Because if we earned it, it also wouldn't be the ultimate pleasure. Person wants a very comfortable chair. It's chalishing to have this reclining chair. And somebody gives it to him as a present. And he sits in it, he enjoys it. But if nobody would give it to him as a present, and he'd have to work 6 days a week, 8 hours a day for a month to earn enough money to buy the chair. And finally, after a month of hard work, he buys the chair and he sits in it, he'd appreciate it more. But what would be if he planted trees, raised them till they were big enough to cut down for lumber, made the frame of the chair from them, then he mined iron, made it into nails, and banged it together, and he raised sheep and sheared their wool and made the stuffing for the chair. And then he raised cotton and spun it into thread, made it into material for the upholstery of the chair, and now he sits in the chair. He probably would appreciate a lot more even than he bought it, because he made it. So what you make, you appreciate more than what you earn. What you earn, you appreciate more than what's given to you. So for Olam Haba to be the ultimate, it has to be created, not earned. We create Olam Haba. Every single thing we do in this world, not just Torah and Mitzvahs. Torah and Mitzvahs are just a guide. But everything, eating, drinking, sleeping, person's social life, married life, economic life, can be done in a way that makes your neshama more like the Ribbono Shel Olam or less like the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you create a neshama that's more like the Ribbono Shel Olam, lachar me'aveshim shama, you have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer. If you do things that make your neshama less, you have less. You create Olam Haba. Person creates his Olam Haba in this world. And therefore, not only can you create Olam Haba, you can create Olam Haba every second. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar ben Dordoi was an Abarian. And in the middle of an Aveira, something shocked him, and he did tshuva. An intense tshuva that he died from it. And a baskol came out, Ashrecha Rabbi Elazar ben Dordoi, shemezumen Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yehuda Nossi, when Rabbi heard this maisa, he cried. And he said, Yesh kono lomo b'shoachas. So Tozer Rosh Hashiva asks, why wasn't he simcha? Yesh kono lomo b'shoachas. What was he crying about? What was the cry that Yesh kono lomo b'shoachas? He said, because he realized then you could do it every second. It's not a one-time thing. There's not just one Olam Haba. There's an infinite amount of Olam Haba that a person can get. More and more and more. And every second you can get more nitzchias. And how many people let seconds slip through their fingers? So it's something to cry about. If Yeshkono Lomba B'Shoachas, then every Shoachas you can do it. There's no limit. It's Ein Sof, what's it called, the Olam Haba that a person can get. And therefore, the real Hashkofas HaTorah on Olam Hazeh is like a prose verb b'fnei Olam Haba. What does that mean? Let's analyze the mashal. You don't build a prose door for any other purpose than to get into the castle. It's not made for any other purpose. And it's not equipped with anything else. You don't put anything in there that doesn't help you get into the castle. And you don't use it for anything else. It's called kulo. Why it's made, what it's equipped to do, and what you do there is one thing. Prepare to go in the castle. That's Olam Hazeh. There's no purpose to Olam Hazeh. The Rebbe Mishnah would not have created Olam Hazeh if it wasn't to give us the ability to create Olam Haba. There's no purpose for it otherwise. The entire purpose of Olam Hazeh is to prepare for Olam Haba. And everything a person does here can be done for that. Everything. B'chol drochecho do'ehu. Every way a person can attach himself to the Rebbe Mishnah. But go tell a Rasha who lived his whole life in crime, didn't you know the entire purpose of Olam Hazeh is for the sake of Olam Haba? Of course he didn't know that. And now that he's dead, he doesn't know it either, because people, when they die, don't become big philosophers and talmid chacham, they just become dead. And Rishoyim afilu pishlo shel gehenim einam chozrim. So the Malach didn't waste his breath and tell him, didn't you know that the whole purpose of this world was for the sake of Olam Haba? Of course he didn't. He didn't mention the Mishnah. But he said, look, but in your eyes, maybe you understood a little bit differently. Maybe in your eyes, Olam Hazeh was like Erev Shabbos, and Olam Haba was like Shabbos. Not the same thing. Because people do things on Erev Shabbos for Erev Shabbos. Eat breakfast. Go to work a little bit on Erev Shabbos for Erev Shabbos. But the ikar of Erev Shabbos is for Shabbos. Maybe that you understood. Not that the entire purpose of this world is for the sake of the next world. The ikar is. And even if that you didn't understand. But in your mind, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba were equal. Dry land and sea, both nice places. But you knew one day your boat was going to set sail. Why didn't you prepare? And even if that you didn't believe. But in your mind, Olam Hazeh was the Yishuv. This is the Iker. And Olam Haba was a Midbar to you. Shmama, desolate, meaningless. But you knew one day you're going to have to go into that Midbar. Why didn't you prepare? And if even that you didn't know, then you deserve to be where you are. And if you didn't believe there was an Olam Haba, then you don't believe. If you believe, then why didn't you prepare? Even if you thought that this world was the Iker, you should have prepared. And if you didn't believe in Olam Haba, then you don't deserve Olam Haba. So that's why the Malach told this person three different Mishalim. And he didn't mention the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is the Eves HaHashkafa. That the entire purpose of Olam Hazeh, in everything, is only to prepare for Olam Haba. That's what it's here for. If that's the case, then Chazal say in Brachas that this world is like a banquet. Grab what you can. Because if you don't, the banquet's going to be over. I remember in America, those who can remember, chasanas were a little bit different than here. There, the ikar of the chasana was not the chuppah, not the sheva brachas, it was the smorgasbord. Right? That was the ikar. That's why people came to chasanas. Right? In fact, they were disturbed that they were pulled away from the smorgasbord for this wedding. I mean, they came to eat. We have to go for a chuppah. And because of that, it was very hard for people to get pulled away from the tables of the smorgasbord. They had to start turning on and off the lights to get you a simon that they want you to come in for the chuppah. There's a chuppah that's going on here. Right? You didn't come to eat only. I once was standing in line by the smorgasbord behind somebody, and I heard him tell his friend, I didn't eat for 3 days in preparation for this wedding. In any case, so, and then, after a while, the waiters come in, and they pull the food away from the people, so somebody go in by the chuppah. That's what this world is like. It's like a smorgasbord. And grab what you can, because eventually they're going to turn the lights off and on, and they're going to get you out of this room, right? And that's it. what you can do, what you can do in this world, that's it. I remember, give an example, when I was a kid in Miami, the supermarket in our neighborhood had a contest. And the first prize of the contest was that whoever won got 15 minutes in the supermarket to grab whatever they could off the shelves for free. And they invited the whole neighborhood to come and watch this woman who won the prize claim her prize. So I went. That was, must have been 10 years old, something like that. And my two brothers, Aleihem HaShalom, we went to watch this. So I remember the woman had bought special sneakers so she could run fast through the aisles. She had two carts, one on each arm, pushing through. And she had a map of the supermarket connected to her head in front of her, so she marked off the most expensive aisles so she'd go to there first. And they told her, listen, we're going to count to three and blow a whistle. At that point, you start running and take whatever you can. At 15 minutes to the second, we're going to blow another whistle. Everything you grab after that belongs to us, not yours. So you have 15 minutes to grab, go. They said, ready, get set, go. The woman started running like a mashugana. And within 3 minutes, she's out of breath and sweating. Imagine if somebody would have come to her and say, listen, lady, right, you look tired, out of breath. Here's a chair. Have a seat. Rest a little bit, and then you can go on. You know what she'd say? Out of your mind? I have 15 minutes. Now's not the time to rest. Bring me the chair when the 15 minutes are up, and I'd be happy to rest all you want. But now's not the time to rest. Now, every second, there's another something off the shelf. That's what the Rabbana Shem said to Yaakov. Bikesh Yaakov leishe b'shalva. He wanted to take it easy. He wanted to rest within the 15 minutes. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayin l'tzadikim ha'shem asukim l'mabot. Not the way we read it to begin with. It's never enough what a tzaddik already has in Olam Haba. U'mevachim leishe b'shalva ba'olam hazeh. He wants to take it easy. He could have shalom. They could have any outside disturbances. And then you put all your effort into what you're doing. That's why yeshiva is called a yeshiva. Not because people sit and don't do. A yeshiva is a place of Amal HaTorah. But it's a place where you close out all the outside disturbances. Nothing else. From everything around your yoshev. And inside is tremendous Amal HaTorah. That's the ideal. But the bikesh leishe b'shalva. To take it easy in the street for 1 second. It's not, the Rebbeinu doesn't let that. There's a medrash in Tanchuma, in Parshas Shmini. Lo ikei simcha ba'olam hazeh. Simcha never remained too long for anybody in this world. Because it's not productive. It's not positive. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the medrash says, when I created the world, I was happy. Yismach Hashem b'maisav. Didn't last too long. Adam and Chava sinned. So if I couldn't remain happy, nobody's going to remain happy. That's what the Rebbeinu Shalom says. That's the Rebbeinu Shalom. Spiting people. I wasn't happy. You're not going to be happy either. And the pshat is, the Rebbeinu Shalom said, when I created the world, I was happy. I could have remained happy. I could have made people who have no bechira, who are tzaddikim, who are robots, and I would have remained happy. But that wasn't the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is people should have free choice and create their Olam Haba. So if I didn't remain happy, I could have, but that wasn't the purpose. So nobody's going to remain happy, because if they remain happy, then they're going to feel yet leishe b'shalva. They're going to sit down during the 15 minutes, not the toelis over here. So shalom is fine, but not shalva. Shalva in this world isn't something. Same thing we find, the difference between schok and simcha. Olam ayimale odem schok pi ba'olam hazeh. Oz yimale schok pinu. Ay simcha, a person is supposed to be the simcha. The very big difference between simcha and schok. Schok is schok v'kalis rosh magilin esodem le'erva. Schok means you let your guard down. You feel that there's no purpose to be careful. You're not on guard. That's schok. Simcha is you have tremendous simcha, harmony again, like shalom, but now you can be active. You're still ibdu es Hashem b'simcha, but gilu b'rada. There's a pachad. You don't let your guard down. You're tremendously besimcha, but you're not tzchok. It's not letting your guard down. In this world, there's no tzchok, and there's no shalva. The shalva is the absence of the aseh tov, and the tzchok is the absence of the sur meirah. In this world, you need a sur meirah and an aseh tov. You have to be active. You have to be moving. And that's why both Simcha and Shalom have a connection to Avoda. Right? Avoda means to put in effort. Where do we find that? The Gemara Chagiga. The Gemara says that you're Mavchin Bein Obey the Elohim Lasher Lo Avoda. The Gemara says they're both Tzadikim. But one's called an Ovei Elokim and one's Lo Avoda. Ain't no Dome Shona Pirko May upon him, Lashona Pirko May upon him the Echad. The difference is somebody who learns something 100 times or 101 times. And the Mepharshim explained, in order to really understand something and remember it, you have to learn it 100 times. After that, you can take it easy. Okay, I know it. Munach Bekiso, right? But the person who learns it the 101 times understands that the purpose in this world is never to take it easy, but to be active. So I'll learn another time. I could take it easy. I could say there's no more purpose. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. But this world is not just to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. It's to constantly be active more and more and more. That's called avodas Hashem. A person can serve the Rabbanu Shalom leisurely. He's not an Oved Elokim. The more amal and yegiya you put in, that's what this world is all about. Amal and yegiya. The ikar of Torah is the chukosai teilechu shiu ameilim ba Torah. Not how much you accomplish, but how much effort you put in. Because the effort you put in is what creates. What creates olam haba. And therefore we find that simcha and shalom have a connection to avoda. Ibdu es Hashem b'simcha. The Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Lulav, simcha hi avoda gedola. Tremendous avoda to be b'simcha. It's not taking it easy. It's not shalva. It's avoda sa-simcha. The same thing with shalom. After you have avoda and hodah, then you can reach shalom. That shleimus that comes from avoda. And the shalom is not that now you take it easy. But now you don't have any mafriim from the outside. Memela, there's two dargas of avoda. There's an avoda of an eved. An eved does what he's told to do. And when he does, not told to do anything, takes it easy. When he works, he works. When he doesn't have to work, he doesn't. Then there's an avoda of a ben, a child. A child doesn't only do for the parent what the parent tells him. But he wants to make a nachas ruach for the parent. So even what the parent doesn't tell him, Mesillas Yesharim says that's the madrega of chasidus. Right? A father tells his son give me a drink of water. He gives him a drink of water. The chasid says, my father's thirsty. I understand what his ratzon is. I want to do more than he told me. So I bring him soda because I know he likes that better than the water. So a child serves the parent even when he's not commanded. Even when he doesn't have to. And an eved does what he has to do. That's the reason avodas eved and avodas ben. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. In any case, that's why kofetz olav rogzos al Yosef. Because Yaakov Avinu wanted to take it easy. He was batuach in his olam haba. And the Mela, dayim l'tzadikim asher mesukim lahem. That was what he felt. It's enough already. I have enough. Yaakov Avinu had Rabbi Kiveger says, Yaakov Avinu had a haftacha that if all his children would survive him, he is guaranteed olam haba. But if any of his children died before him, the guarantee wasn't there. Therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's what the Rabbanu Shem did to Yaakov. Made him think that Yosef was dead, that Patrocha wasn't there. And Meili had to keep working. Because as long as he thought that his Olam Hava was Batuach, there was always the danger that he would take it and be able to sit B'Shalva. But now that he knew that one of his children died before, he doesn't have Patrocha anymore, so now he can't sit. Now it's now he understands, we'll die in L'tzadikim Hashem Asukim Lahem. That's B'Nogeya to the parish. The Bach, in his Hakdama to Hilchus Chanukah, says, what made Klal Yisrael vulnerable? There has to be a weakness that Klal Yisrael has to be vulnerable to the Tzaris of Goyim. Otherwise, if we're not vulnerable, then the Rabbanu Shalom wouldn't let the Tzaris affect us. What was the weakness of Klal Yisrael? Says the Bach, Yisrashlu ba'avodas Hashem. Their weakness was in avoda. What we're saying now, avoda means, they did mitzvahs, but leisurely. Fun, right? Entertainment. There are people like that. They teach their children. Torah has to be fun, right? And they make it fun, right? They're learning Gemara is a computer game. That's what you call it. We'll put it on a computer screen. It'll be fun, right? Mitzvah boys and mitzvah girls, and they walk around, and Torah is really fun. Torah is not fun. Maybe when you're 5 or 6 years old, Torah can be fun. There are a lot of things in Torah that are not fun. that are not leisurely, that are not entertaining, that are very, very difficult. Torah is difficult. Torah needs mesiras nefesh. Torah needs a lot of amal and yigia. It's not something that just happens easily. Unfortunately, we live in a world where that's what people want. Entertainment, they want things easy. I saw in the Modiah that they developed, the Israel orange growers developed a new strain of oranges that's going to come out next year. They've invested millions of dollars in producing this new orange. What's special about the new orange? It has a very thin skin and it has no pits. So they asked them, what was wrong with the old orange that you had to invest millions of dollars for a new orange? They said, because people today want things fast and easy. And we have to supply what the clientele wants. They don't want oranges that are hard to peel, and they don't want them that are hard to eat because there's pits. They want it fast, and they want it easy. Unfortunately, it's not only by oranges, it's by Torah too. Everybody wants it fast and easy. Entertaining, light, not to put too much work into it. That's why today, right, we have this whole idea of schoolers. Everything is schoolers. Right? People forget about the fact that there's Torah and mitzvahs, but schoolers. That's the ikkar. Right? And just do this and everything will be fine. I heard once on a commercial that if you give money to this stalker that dealt with children with problems, children with whatever, then you're guaranteed that your children never have that. Who makes a guarantee? The Rabban Shalom doesn't guarantee that. How can anybody make such a guarantee? But no, it's easy. Right? All you have to do is give money, what's it called? Erev Shavuos, I spoke in Matityahu, there's a Tfilas HaShalom. If you say the Tfilas HaShalom, you're guaranteed your children will be fine. What kind of guarantee from saying a tefillah once a year? You want to make your children fine? Put a lot of amal and yigi into their chinuch. And then say the tefillah of the shalom. That's like the icing on the cake, but you have to have the cake. You only have the icing, it's very disgusting. And to this year I saw, this year is even, what's it called, even worse. Now it's too hard to say the tefillah. It's a long tefillah. What's that time to say tefillahs? If you give money to this stalker, they'll say the tefillah for you. And then your children will surely be okay. Shomu Shomayim. So they were Nisrashlu Bavoda Sashem. They want to put the Avoda in. They were willing to, what's it called, to do it if it's entertaining, it's fun, but not to put any Omel and Yigiyah in. And therefore, they were vulnerable to Yavan. That's what Yavan was all about. Yavan was sports, entertainment, everything in the world was to take it easy. There's nothing serious in this world. Right? They spent their time, even the philosophy, where they sat down, they enjoyed it. It was an exercise in interesting mental gymnastics. So either they had physical gymnastics or they had mental gymnastics, and they had theater, and they watched people kill each other in a sports arena. That's what their whole day was. So people wanted Torah like that too. Torah should be entertaining, should be fun. And that's not what it is. Not that Torah has to be a burden either. On the one hand, we don't want to teach our children that Torah is a burden. Torah is an opportunity. But it's not fun. So what is it? Right? Moshe Feinstein says that a whole generation in America was lost to Shmir Shabbos from parents that were moser nefesh for Shmir Shabbos, but used to come home Friday night and craft. Oh, Shabbos is so hard. Every time they kept Shabbos, they lost their jobs the coming week. So they complained. Oh, it's so hard to be a Jew and it's so hard to keep Shabbos. But they kept Shabbos. So what are their children here? This is so hard and it's crazy or whatever. So they said, our parents are out of their mind. But we're going to grow up. We're going to get rid of the Shabbos. It's a burden. So what should they have done? Come home and say, oh, it's great. So much fun. I can't think of anything more fun than looking for a job every week or whatever. Not having anything to eat. That's really fun. That's what they should have said. The children should have heard that. What? The answer is no. They should have come home and said, it's very difficult to keep Shabbos, but it's worth it. Because no matter how much effort you have to put in, no matter how much omel and yegiyah, it's worth it. It's kedai. It's like digging for a treasure. It's a lot of work. It's not easy, but it's worth it. That's what the message is you're supposed to give over to yourself and your... Torah is an avoda. It's a difficult avoda, but it's worth it. It's kedai. It's not easy. And it's not a burden. It's tremendous work, tremendous effort, but the effort's worth it. Ultimately, it's a schus. It's an opportunity. It's a merit. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zakos Yisrael, the Fichach Hirvem Torah Mitzvah. And therefore, they were vulnerable to the gzeiros of Yavon. What were the gzeiros? The Yavon and the Chafetz Chaim says, whenever we don't appreciate something, then the Rabbanu Shalom lets Goyim threaten to take it away or take it away from us, because human nature is, and when you have it, you take it for granted, and when it's threatened to take away or it's taken away, then you appreciate it. So therefore, the Yavonim came, and they wanted to take away all the Omel and Yigiyah from Yiddishkeit. Lashkicham Torah Secha, take away Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, you can read, you know, Medrash says, what's it called, Bible stories, very easy. Sitting down learning Gemara, sitting Torah Shebal Peh, that's Omel the Yigiyah. So they made a gzeira against Torah Shebal Peh. Now, it's chukei ritzonecha, not interested in what's it called, in doing ratzon Hashem like a child. Whatever I have to do, I'll do. Minimum, makel, whatever, right? Not like a child that wants to do more and more. That's what's it called, avira michukei ritzonecha. Took away Shabbos. What does Shabbos show? That there's a time to rest, but it's at the end of the week, not during the 6 days. In this world, you have to work. Next world, you can be b'shalva. This world, there's no shalva. Bismillah shows that we're chaserim, we have to be mashlim ourselves. They wanted to take away that. Leave the way you're created. You don't have to mashlim yourself. You don't have to change anything. Just remain the way you are. That's bismillah. And Rosh Chodesh, time is for leisure. Enjoy the time. No, time is something you have to put kedusha into. Kiddush HaChodesh. You have to mekadesh Yisrael v'azman. To use time. And there's two other gzeiros the Rambam says. Women. They looked at women as something to enjoy. But the mice of woman is an Ezer Kenegdo to be poel in this world, to function. Mammon. They look at money as something you have to give you enjoyment. Leisure. Money. By a tzaddik, tzaddikim, chavivim alei mamonim. You know why? Because they use it as a kli for avodas Hashem. A tzaddik understands his body is a kli for avodas Hashem, and his money is a kli for avodas Hashem. Chavivus comes from how much you put effort. The more effort, the more chaviv. I did the asile midrasha chaviv way. The more omel and yigi you put in something, the more chaviv it is. So a tzaddik says, look, my body is a kli lavodas Hashem, and my money is a kli lavodas Hashem. Which one's more chaviv to me? The one I put more effort in. How much effort do you have to put in to getting your body? None. It's a birthday present. The first birthday, you got a body. How much effort do you have to put into maintaining it? A lot. Into using it? A lot. Just two efforts out of three. How about money? So ain't posting your damn begezel. Tzaddikim don't steal. So therefore they have to earn their money. And they have to maintain it. And they have to use it. Three things. The mammon's a clean level of the Hashem and the body's a clean level of the Hashem. Those are the gzeiras that the Yevonim made. Keneged that, the Chashmonaim appreciated all of these things. The Kohanim, they were willing to work for Avodas Hashem. We'll see in 1 second. But the word Chashmonai includes all the gzeiros. Hint to all of them. Ches is Chodesh. Shin is Shabbos. Nem is Mila. Mamon. And Mishnah. Torah Shabbat Peh. Nun is Nida. Aleph is Eish Ish. Those are all the gzeiros that the Yevonim made. The Chashmonai embodied the antithesis of all the things they wanted to take away. And the Mela, the Nes came because the Chashmonaim could have said, look, it's a Shas Hashmad. We don't have to give our lives for a Mitzvah Saseh. Mitzvah Saseh, you're not mekuyev to do. Shevi al Taseh. And if they'll come and they'll force us to be Machal Shabbos, we'll die. Okay, the Shasheh. That was it. They don't have to make any wars. They're Anusim. So Mitzvah Saseh, forget about. And Mitzvah Lo Saseh, we'll die. Okay, the Shasheh was a Shas Hashmad. They didn't say that. They said, we don't want to die. Okay, the Shasheh. We want to be poel. We want to do. This world is a place not to take it easy. It's better to live al kiddush Hashem than die al kiddush Hashem. So they made a war. You should bedafka be able to do the mitzvahs. And that way, in the end, well, how did the Rabbanu Shem give them a mitzvah chaviva? Again, chaviva is how much omel in your gear. They didn't have to light the menorah. They were anushim. There's no shemen. Why did the Rabbanu Shem have to give them shemen tar, make a nes? You're potter. But that's not what they wanted. You could be potter. That's like an eved. But a ben wants to do nachas ruach to his parents, even if he's potter. So they wanted to light that candle. And because they wanted to light the first day, that's why they got a nesh for all the other ones. That's why we celebrate the first day too. Because, Enoch and Ami, the first day wasn't a nesh. But you know how the nesh came? Because the first day they wanted to do, they didn't rely on being a nusin. Because you wanted to light the first day, I'll make you light the seventh day. So the first day was the goring. You put in the Omu V'Yegiyah, the Derech Shalom Rotsa Leilech Molichin Osa. And that's why he says, V'Achar Kein Bo Bonecho L'Gvir Beisecha. They came back as children, not as Avodim. Till now they served the Rabban Shagan Eved. I do what I have to do, more than that not. Now they realize they want to make a Nachas Ruah. They want to get closer to the Rabban Shalom. What we can do, we can do. We want to do more. I want to explain a Medrash. And that's why Chanukah, the whole Indian of Chanukah was made in such a way. Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin. This is a minimum mitzvah, but the Chacham gave you a chance to do it better, do it more. Right? Where do we find such a thing? They made the mitzvah the way you're supposed to do it. But here the idea is, the whole Indian was, I don't have to rely on what the minimum is. I want to do more. That's the Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin. And that's why it's called Chanukah. The Chorot should be called Nochuka. In the Megillah Esther, it says, "Hayom Masher Nochu Bohem Hayehudim Meirdeyim." Purim, there was from outside, so they had Shalom. They were Nochu Meirdeyim. But Chanukah, the Ikur wasn't from the outside. The Ikur wasn't now from the inside. Chonu, Chanoya, Tachno, Leimachna means that when they now could take it easy, they got rid of the Yevanim and the Gzeiros. They could take it easy. You could be potter. We're honest. We have no oil. But Chanu, they bedavka made a Chanoya. They made a, what's it called, a Machaneh. Now we're going to be poets. That's Chanukah, not Nochukah, but Chanukah. And that's why the Rabban Shalom, Amadatolahem Be'isorosim, doesn't say that about Purim. They were omeid, the Rabban Shalom was omeid for them. They stood up, they didn't sit down, B'shalva, so the Rabban Shalom stood up for them also. Just the, end with one Medrash. Medrash says, Hadudoyim Nosnureya, Pasuk Yishir Ashirim, V'yalp Sochenu Kol Megodim, Kadoshim Gam Yishonim. Hadudoyim Nosnureya, Zeruven Shehitzelis Yosef. V'yalp Sochenu Kol Megodim, Zener Chanukah. So first of all, I understand Dudoyim applies to Ruven, but Ruven who brought the Dudoyim to his mother. Not Ruven who saved Yosef. What does Dudoyim have to do with saving Yosef? And what does all of that have to do with Ner Chanukah? It's like this. Ruven, nobody asked him to bring Dudoyim. The Rishonim say that Dudoyim were a fertility drug. They were a drug that helped people get pregnant. Leah could have said, look, I have enough kids. I did my share of bringing Shvatim in. I have to need more children, more Shvatim. I can take it easy. She didn't say that. She wanted more children. Ruven, she didn't tell her child, Ruven, go find me some fertility drug and bring it home. He happened to find it. Now, Ruven should have been the one dafka not to help his mother get pregnant. Why? Because every other child takes away from the children the Yerusha. And the Bechor loses double. That's why Chom or Canaan did to Noah what they did. They wanted to have more children. Enough to split the Yerusha three ways. You need more people. So Reuven should not have brought these Dudoyim. Nobody asked him to bring it. He could have just said, look, I found them. Just look the other way. But Bedavki brought it to his mother. Why? Because Adarabba, Leah wants more. She doesn't want to be mistafik b'mu'ud. And Reuven acts to his mother like a child, not like an Eved. An Eved does what he's told to do. I wasn't told, I don't have to do it, and it's not to my best interest. But if I want to make a nachas ruach to my parents, then I do what I'm not told to do. And Adarabba, even though it was against his better interest, let my mother have more children. That same Reuven, when it came to save Yosef, should have been the last one to speak up. I'm not the one involved. They're making the decisions. I could just walk away. Yosef is the biggest threat to me. He's taking away my bechoris, taking away everything. Ru ma ben beni le ben chomi. And look what Esau did because Yaakov took away. Now, what's it called? And Yosef's taking away. Reuven could have said, you know what? I'm not interested in getting involved over here. I'm just going to go away, do my tshuva on my Sibylla, and let them take care of Yosef, and it'll be good, my benefit. But the same Reuven who brought the Dudoyim to his mother is the same Reuven who wanted to make a nachasua to his father against his own will. But he had to act like a child to his father. And that's Ner Chanukah. Because we don't relate to the Rabban Shalom like an Eved. Do what you have to do and then take it easy. We want to do more and more and more in order to make a nachas ruach to the Rabban Shalom that we should fulfill what the Rabban Shalom wants, that we should get more and more olam haba. That was Ratzon Hashem. So that's what Chanukah is all about. The only thing that Beishame and Beishilal argue, whether the Iker is the Sur Meira, right, Korei Achad, let's take care of the outside influences, and then the more you do, the less you have to be careful. The more careful you are, you take away the influences, goes down. Or no, Beis Hillel says no, the Iker is this Yaseh Tov. And then Marlin Bakodesh, more and more and more. Not to just be makbid on the Sur Meirah, makbid on the Yaseh Tov too. So in any case, here you're makayim that 100%. Here's a kolel, kolel hakol. It's a yeshiva from the outside. All the tirdes and all the other things that a person could be involved in, here you come and just leave it outside. But you don't take it easy over here. There's no sofas over here to you don't come here to sleep. You come here to put tremendous omel in your gear. It's not a place of shalva. It's a place of shalom. And the Baruch Hashem, you're blessed with a fine Rosh Chodesh, who's taka moser nefesh, and omel v'yageya, to make sure that all of you have a place to be omel v'yageya. So Mitzvah Hashem should go, Michael El Choyel, and the Nair of Chanukah, which is mamish, the Nair of Torah Shebaal Peh, should be misgaber in the world until it pushes away all the choshech, the Viyasko El Tzedek, and Hedu V'yamin.